Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hyperconscious Podcast. Alan, what is Hyperconscious?
Once you understand why something is the way that it is, now you have the power to change it. Great conversations with great people and great questions are the keys to the kingdom of unlocking your consciousness.
Every single action that you do starts as a thought. When you control the way you think, you will control the way you act, and you will control the way you live. That is hyperconscious. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hyperconscious Podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast. He was kind enough to join us on episode 144 and 135.
Folks, it has become Kevin and I's mission in life to help you realize that the life of your dreams is right on the other side of you becoming the greatest version of yourself. Let us help you do that.
I rarely do these things twice in such a short amount of time, but you guys impress me. I believe in people that provide value and of our service. You two guys are on your way to huge fulfillment, purpose, and profitability, and I look forward to helping you both.
We appreciate that more than you know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our latest episode where Alan and I were lucky enough to chat with Erica Reisberg today for episode number 255. It's a lot of them.
255.
We are going to do a 5-minute clinic on emotional pain and what to do with it.
So the reason we're doing this episode is because I believe the only wrong answer when you're in emotional turmoil is to sit back and remain the same. And there's two options every time you're in emotional pain. And yes, I will plug in a second. Before
Didn't
I jump
even
in,
set the timer.
Should we redo it?
No.
Keep it running. Okay. So every time you are in emotional turmoil, the only wrong answer is to sit back and remain the same. What do I mean by that? You have two options. You can either develop a virtue and set a new standard for your life and for yourself, or you can escape into a vice. But before we go any deeper, I want you to go to the hyperconsciouspodcast.com, click on join, hashtag hyperconscious nation. Folks, we have other people going in live, telling their story. Having a group of like-minded people who are all chasing goals and dreams will make you feel not alone, which is so fulfilling and so important.
Feel not alone.
Feel not alone.
I like it. Also, I posted on my story, actually right before Alan came into the studio, a couple of messages I received from Mass Maritime students. If you are looking to bring in speakers, Alan and myself would love to come and motivate and inspire, not just for a day, but our goal is always to facilitate a lifetime full of change. And that starts with one conversation, one speech, one word, all of those happy things. So today we are going to talk about emotional pain. Do you want to go first? Oh, also, I want to give a shout out to Tom and Emily. They hosted Friendsgiving Saturday. It was amazing. Happy birthday, Emily. Tom, thank you so very much for the guitar lessons. And Tom gave me one of his guitars so I could learn to play. Genuinely one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. So I appreciate you guys so very much.
That was a wonderful evening. And now all of a sudden we're going to have Kevin doing guitar sometime.
Oh, it's so difficult.
We got to do it.
My fangus.
Whenever you're good, we'll put one mic next to the guitar.
Whenever
we'll
I'm good?
You. Yeah.
God.
How long?
Years.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to tell a quick story about when I was in emotional pain and what I did with it. So circle back to, I believe, 2015. I'm in the Providence Place Mall watching the second movie, 300 Rise of Empire, something like that, in IMAX. My buddy Kiki and I are paying for parking. And there's little kids around, there's families, it's a Sunday night, we're not out drinking, we're not doing anything crazy. And all of a sudden, I get punched from behind. And there's this guy who had the most evil eyes I'd ever seen. And I knew in that millisecond that he was trying to kill me. Now, one of two things is true in this moment. Either he thinks I'm someone I'm not, like I'm in a Providence gang or something, or he's crazy. It turned out to be the second. So Kiki and I grew up together. Every time we would hear a rustle in the woods, whether it was a fisher cat or a coyote or something, we would run. So I chose run. I chose flight. So there's three options, flight, freeze, or fight. I chose flight. Kiki pushed him off me. He was saying, Kodo's in the building. I'm running. I thought Kiki was going to run too. Kiki didn't run. Kiki actually chose freeze and got beaten up pretty bad. At the speech at Mass Maritime, I actually show these photos. And basically, by the time I realized, I looked back and Kiki wasn't running, someone had pulled the fire alarm to get Kodo to stop. So Kodo came out of his rage and stopped beating Kiki up while I was on my way back. He got detained by security guards and or cops, I'm not sure. But he was looking at us through the glass, and apparently he told the cops that we were trying to kill him, which means that he was in a schizophrenic rage and he was delusional. Turns out I talked to his wife, and his wife said that he is off his medication for the first time in a long time. And I don't know why they're seeing the movie 300, but anyways, point is this. After that, I had a lot of shame. I ran. First of all, if Kodo had a knife or a weapon, there's no question that Kiki or me or both would be either severely injured or potentially dead. If he had a knife and he was trying to kill us because he thought we were trying to kill him, like, we very well could have died. So whenever something like that happens, you question things. It shakes the snow globe. And I remember having a lot of shame around running and leaving Kiki there. So after that, I was in definite emotional turmoil for a while. A lot of our friends made fun of me. Like, you ran, you left Kiki behind, I never would have ran, all that stuff. And at the time, I was probably 165 pounds. I often say skinny fat and just not very strong, kind of frail and weak, and I wasn't in the best place. And that messed with me a lot. And whenever something like that happens, you try to assign meaning to it. You try to figure out what you did wrong. And I couldn't think of anything I did wrong in particular. It's not like I was out at the bar causing a ruckus or anything. So I'm like, you just have to decide to do something new. So in that emotional pain, I made a decision. I'm going to get ridiculously strong. After that, I started hitting the weights hard. I went all in on fitness. I gained 60 pounds in 6 months, 10 pounds per month. I do not recommend doing that. But I went from 160 to 220 in 6 months. And I actually remember you coming up to me in the gym and saying, whatever you're doing, it's working. Keep doing it.
Yeah, I remember
that. Which is interesting. You're one of the very few people who actually encouraged that. But I did, in everyone's defense, end up getting pretty fat. So anyways, if you are in emotional pain, I believe the only wrong answer is to sit back and remain the same. Most people, I shouldn't say most people, a lot of people, and myself included, I'm guilty of this as well. Sorry, I'll be finishing up in a second. When you're in emotional pain, you can either develop a virtue, like weight training, for example, or you can escape into a vice, whether it's alcohol or drugs or Netflix or distractions or delusion. I think if you're in emotional pain, the only right answer is to develop a virtue within yourself, to set a new standard for your life, to make sure that whatever it is that happened to you, whether it was your fault or not, it is your responsibility to do something about it.
How am I supposed to follow that up?
I don't know, man.
I will.
Sorry, I went a little over.
Oh, yeah. Right after we started, I was like, shit, I shouldn't have let him go first. This is why I always go first. All right, so my story. When your back is against the wall, you can either get comfortable or you can get motivated. So this time last year, I remember one day after avoiding feedback for months of looking at my bank account, I looked at my bank account. And for the first time, almost since I was like 16, I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I didn't have enough money to pay for my car insurance, for rent, for credit card payments, for website things, for all the premium things we have to make the podcast run.
Adobe,
which is $700 a year or something ridiculous. So you have, like, if you're out there and you value money like I do, or you stress over money like I have in the past, when you look and you don't know how you're going to make it to the end of the month, you start freaking out. And I was in a ton of emotional pain, also shame of, like, how did I let this happen?
Right.
I'm supposed to be a successful businessman. And you really start to question things like, can I make it on my own? Am I actually a business person? Can I be a good coach? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do this? And very similar to what Alan said, like, there's two things you can do. You can shell up or you can show up. And in those moments, I remember telling Alan, like, dude, I'm really struggling right now. And he's like, well, we just got to get you some clients, man. And
remember that.
I ended up getting 5 clients, I think, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, strong work.
And if you're out there and you're going through that, any form of emotional pain where you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do, you have to just start somewhere, and you have to admit to yourself that you don't know what you're going to do. That was the first thing I did. I said, I don't know what to do. Like, I haven't been this low financially since I was, like, 16.
Right.
Like, I used to make $100 an hour.
Right.
And now I don't have $500 in my bank account. Like, how does that happen? But the first step for me was becoming aware of it. And I think some of us are afraid to even face the emotional pain.
Right.
Because if we don't face it, we don't have to do anything with it. Well, the problem is that drags you down. So you either look at your bank account when you have $500, or you see your bank account when you have 5 past due notices. And I didn't want that to happen. Now, luckily, I use that pain as motivation.
Mm.
So if you're in that spot, don't use that pain as a place to get comfortable, because you're not going to be comfortable there. Use that pain as something that'll motivate you. And imagine yourself crawling out of that pain and using that pain like the phoenix rising from the flames, from the ashes.
Right.
Right? Like, that's what you could be too, but not if you let it hold you back. If it's always the reason you can't succeed, you never will be successful. If it's the reason why you believe in yourself and you start to grind and you start to chase, like, when you're at rock bottom, there's nowhere else to go.
But up.
But up. So if you can harness that, you can do anything.
It's the solid foundation to build your new life.
Some
if you're
say.
At rock bottom. The last thing I want to say real quick, because we got to go. I remember you stepping into the studio and we just whiteboarded out a new strategy
yeah.
of how to get clients. And you went, this is something that Kevin's really, really good at. When he's in pain, he can come up with, he has a whatever it takes mentality. His back is up against the wall. There's two things you can do. You can either lower your standard or you can step up. And it's like a lot of people do. They lower their standard, but eventually that standard gets so low that you wonder right. what happened to your life.
Right. You need necessity.
Right.
If you can use emotional pain, the episode is emotional pain and what to do with it. Use emotional pain as a necessity.
Right.
Because if you don't have necessity, there is no reason for you to get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
I'm not a salesman. Okay, well, you need to pay your bills. You better figure out how to tell people that you can help them make changes.
Right.
You're not a salesman. You're trying to help people. Like, that's what it is. Maybe for you, it's something else. You are what you don't think you are when you need to be. Just remember that.
Oh, that's fire.
Not bad, right?
Strong 10-second blip there.
That was it. You have one?
yeah, when you're in emotional pain, the only wrong answer is to stay the same.
Bam. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this 12-minute clinic. Up next, since it is Thanksgiving, on Wednesday, you will hear Alan and myself talking about thankfulness, gratitude. We're going to talk about not only what we're grateful for and what we're thankful for, but how you can continue to stay grateful and thankful for these things long after Thanksgiving subsides, which it will. So we are going to talk about that on the next episode. We hope you will enjoy.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to another episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast.
Going hyperconscious will absolutely change your life, because if you understand why something is the way it is, now you have the power to change it. If you going hyperconscious with us has changed your life in any way, please share this episode with one of your friends, because the more people that go hyperconscious, the better this world's going to be for everybody.
And if you would kindly leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyperconscious, and we would be greatly appreciative.
Thank you.
Bye.